you, ladies and Jerry, for your ministry this morning. I enjoyed hearing that keys getting hit a little harder on that fourth verse. That is I love the whole song, but that verse in particular, that blessed hope that we have. Well, this morning, once I get this thing turned on, be looking at a benefit of salvation, taking a step away from our study in Galatians as it's Communion Sunday. But peace, thinking about peace in that song, "It Is Well With My Soul." Peace is something we hear a lot about these days. The world's crying for peace, but the sad thing is they really don't know, and even the peace they are pursuing isn't lasting peace. But that's been a cry of the world, really, since the fall of man. You know, Washington, D.C. has a large assortment of monuments. A peace monument goes, a war monument goes up after every major war. Absurd as it is, you stop and you think about peace and you see protesters smashing windows, burning buildings, stealing, looting, but they're holding up a peace sign. They have a peace symbol dangling from their neck. But you have this cry for peace. Peace is what's been longed for since, 1247, the war in Kadesh, the cry for peace. 2,000 years later, 1815, the Battle of Waterloo, and there's this cry for peace. Peace was sought in the early 1900s during World War I, and again in the mid-1900s during World War II, you have this cry for peace, and even now you turn on the news and you see what's going on in the Middle East, and there's a cry for peace. And over here in the United States, you have people protesting Israel's retaliation against Israel, and they want peace, and yet the anti-Semitism that they're displaying goes against this peace that they're crying for. Families have longed for peace. As teenagers rebel, parents divorce, diseases are battled, and we long for peace. And again, that peace that is sought is often, it's false peace, it's false security, it's a false hope. But true peace can be found, can't it? True peace can be found, and that is, it's another benefit of salvation. So this morning we're going to look at peace as we walk through these different benefits. We've looked at reconciliation, redemption, justification, several different aspects of salvation. This morning I want to look at peace. So let's pray and then we'll dig into this topic this morning. Lord, we thank you again just for another day. Thank you for the opportunity of being able to wake up this morning and to take in nourishment, to be able to gather here together corporately and to worship you, to open your word and to glean truths from your word as we look at this subject of peace and the cry worldwide oftentimes for peace, which is temporary. We thank you for that permanent peace that we can have as believers. So Lord, I just pray again that as we take a look at this, the different, really two different aspects of peace, that if there's anyone here who doesn't know you, anyone here that is without Christ and doesn't have peace with you, that would be settled today. And then that absolute security, tranquility that we can have as believers. Perhaps there's things that are troubling our minds, that today we could put that at rest as we lay our burdens at your feet. So Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for your son. I just pray that you'd be exalted today in our time of study and as we partake in communion here in a little while as well. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as we look at peace, let's look at peace in the Bible. The Hebrew word shalom, the Greek word eirene, translated peace, this word appears in the Bible 429 times in the King James Version. So if you did a word study, I can go on my computer, type in on my Logos program the word peace, it'll pull up 429 times in the New Testament that this word appears. Out of those 429 times, 317 times it's in the Old Testament, 111 times in the New Testament. And so you can see that peace really is a major theme in the Bible. Appearing that many times throughout all of Scripture, this is a major theme. But what does peace mean? What is peace? And so a definition here, it can really be used a couple different ways. One would be total well-being or security. If it was used in this way, someone could say, "I'm sorry that you lost your job." I could say, "You know what? I'm at peace in that situation." And so in this sense, it would be total well-being and security. So when I'm saying, if someone says, "I'm sorry you lost your job," I'm saying, "I'm at peace in this situation." What am I saying? I'm not concerned about this. I'm not worried. It's not keeping me up at night. I'm not anxious about it. And so I have this security. I'm at ease with this. When it's used in this way. One author described this kind of peace this way. He says, "This peace is that calm of mind that's not ruffled by adversity, overclouded by remorseful conscience, or disturbed by fear." And so peace can mean a total well-being or security. It's a peace of mind that we have. No matter what the circumstance is, this well-being, this security. Another way it can be used is sacrifice for alliance or friendship. So in this use, there's hostility between two parties. Now, I have two neighbors here, and so just say that I went into my neighbor's garage, and I didn't tell them. I sneak in there at night, and I steal all their tools. You can pick which neighbor, but I slip in, and I steal your tools. Little did I know that there's a security camera out there, and they see that I went in and I took the tools. So there's hostility between me and my neighbor because I have wronged my neighbor. Now, what has to happen between me and that neighbor to bring peace between us? Because right now there's hostility. I went in and I took all his tools. I cleaned them out. In order for there to be peace between me and my neighbor, there could be peace if I say, "You know what? I took your tools. I bring them back. There's a repentant heart. I ask for forgiveness, and I bring the tools back." That allows for peace, right? So that would be one way that this sacrifice for alliance and friendship, I bring the tools back, I ask for forgiveness, maybe there's restitution that has to be paid. I pried his door open. I broke his door, but I pay to fix that. And when I do that, Scott and Todd, forgive me. Thank you. And, you know, it cost me a little money out of my pocket to fix that door, but this allowed for friendship and alliance. Another way this could go is, okay, now this time I borrow a chainsaw, but I don't mix the gas. I put straight gas in that chainsaw, and I go out, and that saw is cutting really fast, but only for a short time, and it seizes up. Now, I don't have money to replace that chainsaw. Now, there could be hostility there. Okay, I've wrecked his $800 Husqvarna chainsaw, and there's hostility because I ran straight gas in it, and I cannot afford to buy it. What is a way that friendship can be replaced? He could sacrifice. He could say, "You know what? I forgive you. I'm gonna release the penalty of the offense. I'm just gonna release you from that, and I'm gonna go out and buy a new chainsaw." So there can be peace again through sacrifice. This time on my neighbor's behalf. Okay, so peace can be well-being. Security, it can be sacrificed for the alliance of friendship. An illustration of that would be a Paris Peace Treaty. You know, February 10th, 1947, there's hostility between the Allied forces and the Axis forces. But part of that treaty The Axis forces, there was disarmament, there was admission of guilt, there was payment for rebuilding, and today there's relative peace between those nations where there was once hostility. And so peace in the Old Testament, when we look at Scripture, in the Old Testament, God's covenant of peace was made possible by obedient priests who prevented God's wrath on the people through an acceptable sacrifice. We see that in Numbers 25:12. So that was the way peace could be. Hostility between two parties, the priest offered the acceptable sacrifice. God's wrath was temporarily withheld from the people. What was the problem in the Old Testament? Did that sacrifice, was that good for ongoing peace? That one sacrifice? It had to happen over and over and over again, correct? And so God's wrath was withheld as they offered the acceptable sacrifice, but that had to happen again and again and again, which brings us to our need for peace. Romans chapter 1, let's go back there quickly. Romans 1. Verse 18. It says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." And so here's the need for peace. According to that text, the wrath of God is revealed against all ungodliness. This is sin against God. And the wrath of God is revealed against all unrighteousness. That's sin against man. How many here have sinned against God? We all have, right? Okay, we have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God, so we've all sinned against God. How many have sinned against fellow man? Have you ever wronged somebody? We have. Now, I have never broke into my neighbor's garage and stole anything, just to make that clear. But I have sinned against fellow man. And so, according to this, the wrath of God is revealed against all ungodliness, sin against God, all unrighteousness, sin against God. We've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We have all sinned in these ways. And so we face the wrath of God. Because we're sinners, we're under God's wrath. There is hostility between us and God. God is holy, He's perfect, He's just, He must punish sin. And so there's this need for peace between us and God. But there's also a need for peace when it comes to that tranquility, that total well-being and security. Why is that? Because we live in a fallen world. Has anything happened to you to where you could be anxious? Where you're lacking security? We face hardships. We face trials. Relational struggles, physical struggles, financial struggles. Maybe there's an illness or there's a strife within a family, and so we live in a fallen world where we live with other sinful people, and we lack this tranquility. Or you do lose a job, and where's the next paycheck coming from? Your health is failing. What's going to happen? And so we need peace with God. But we also need this peace of mind, this tranquility, this well-being. Has anybody here ever felt anxious? Have you ever faced a situation where you don't know where the next paycheck's coming from? You know, as Luke read in Romans 5, let's go back there real quick. Romans chapter 5, it says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God." Okay, because of God's wrath on man, we needed this peace through our Lord Jesus Christ. But look at this in verse 3, "And not only so, but we glory in tribulations." How can you glory in tribulation? How can you say, praise God in the midst of a trial? I mean, is that possible? It is. We can have this tranquility. We can have this security, this peace. And that is sourced in God. Peace is sourced in God. Where does this peace come from that we need? It's found in God. I've got a few verses here I'll put on the screen, but Hebrews 13, 20 through 21 says, "Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." You notice that little word "of." Now the God of peace. And peace is sourced in this God. We see this in the Pauline epistles. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 3. "Grace be unto you and peace from God." So it's sourced in God, this peace that comes from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul uses the same greeting here in 2 Corinthians 1, 2, Galatians 1, 3, Ephesians 1, 2, Philippians 1, 2, Colossians 1, 2, 1 Thessalonians 1, 1, and 2 Thessalonians 1, 2. The God, this peace from God. It's sourced in him. I think this one's in your notes here, 1 Timothy 1, 2. "Unto Timothy," so Paul writes to Timothy, "my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord." We could go to 2 Timothy 1, 2, Philemon 3. In all these passages, we see that God is the source of peace. So the peace we're looking at is peace that can only be found in God. It's sourced in God. This alliance, the sacrifice that allows the alliance, the friendship, the tranquility and security I need is sourced in God, and it's supplied in Christ Jesus. It's sourced in God. It's supplied through Christ. In Philippians 4, Philippians is one of the prison epistles. Paul's writing it from prison. Now, how can Paul talk about peace when he's in prison? And how can that... Now, it's really not a place that you can have peace, but if you're a believer, you can have that peace. And remember, Paul's in prison. Why is he in prison? It's not for evil doing. It's for his faith in Jesus Christ. But peace is not based on what happens to me. If peace was based on what happened to us, I don't think probably nobody in this room would have peace. So it's not based on what happens. Paul could have peace even while he's in prison, suffering for his faith. That song we sang, the last song we sang, Horatio Spafford, how could he have that peace when his daughters had died at sea? That song that we sang, that song, as my dad was taking his last breath in the hospital, my sister plays these hymns on her phone, and that song, "It Is Well With My Soul," is playing. And I was dreading the day I'd lose my dad. But that song still, that tranquility, that peace of mind, even when you're losing a loved one, how can you have that tranquility? It's based on not what happens to me, it's based on this. Peace, this peace is based on who happens to me. That's what this peace is based on. It's based on who happens to me. You know, the world's view of peace is based on circumstances. It's based on how big their bank account is. It's based on a relationship. You know, when I was coaching wrestling, these kids would come in, and they're all happy one day, and they're just excited, and you find, man, you're happy today. You're in a good mood even though you're cutting weight. What's going on? Oh, this girl, they got a girlfriend. And I'm thinking, okay, about mid-season, I can plan on them going like this because they're going to lose their girlfriend. And sure enough, you know, and I'd ask these kids, "You going to marry that girl?" "Oh, I don't know." I said, "No, you're not. You're not. Just take my word out, you're not. So don't focus on what you need to focus on." And sure enough, halfway through the season, oh, they're all devastated. They had no peace because their circumstances changed. It's based on who happens to me. Romans 5:1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Who happens to me? Oh, I'm getting ahead. I got to go back. So I have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2:13 and 14 says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were sometimes afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ, for he is our peace who hath made both one and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us. According to that text, I was an enemy of God. There was this barrier between me and God. I couldn't have access to God, but through Jesus Christ, he took down that barrier. That barrier's gone. It's removed. I have access to God through the blood of Jesus Christ. Is that good news or what? So I have peace with God through Jesus Christ. That hostility that was there, that barrier that was there, is removed through faith in Jesus Christ. And again, that's one way the word peace is removed. I can now be called a child of God. I can have peace with God through faith in Jesus Christ. Once you have peace with God, that peace then can be multiplied. It can be multiplied through obedience. And this is the second way that peace can be, that we see the word peace used. So first of all, I have peace with God, and now I can have the peace of God. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, it says, elect, so these are believers according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you, and peace be multiplied. And so I have peace with God, but that peace can be multiplied. I can have tranquility. I can have peace of mind. I can have security. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. This peace can be multiplied. And again, written to believers, so they have the peace with God. They're talking about the peace of God, that tranquility, that security. Colossians 3:15 to 17 says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Galatians chapter 5, the fruit of the Spirit. And so through obedience, we can have this tranquility, this security. So it's multiplied through obedience. Philippians 4, 6 through 9, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Okay, through prayer and supplication. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. And so it's multiplied through obedience. So here's the application, the so what. Do you have peace with God? Where does that peace with God come from? Again, a reminder, God's wrath is revealed against all unrighteousness and ungodliness. The sufficient sacrifice of Jesus Christ satisfied God's wrath. This peace is a gift that's received by faith in that sacrifice. Have you put your faith in Jesus Christ? If you have, that removes the barrier. There's no longer hostility between you and God. You can have peace with God. Going back to Romans 5:1, the peace with God through Jesus Christ. So again, that question, do you have peace with God? If you died today, stood before God, and he said, why should I let you into heaven? What's your answer? What's your response? Do you have peace with God? Are you going to stand before him and say, well, you owe me heaven, or I think I've been pretty good? The answer to that question, why should I let you into heaven, is I've put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone. And through him, I can have peace with God. The barrier's removed. There's no longer hostility because Jesus Christ became the sacrifice. He paid the penalty for my sin. So do you have peace with God? Secondly, do you have the peace of God? Do you have that security, that tranquility, or are you going, as a believer, are you going through day by day and you're on edge and you can't sleep and you're worried about different things and you don't have that peace? Can you have it? What's the answer to that question? Does it matter what the circumstance is? So we can have this peace. It's multiplied through obedience. We can have this peace through prayer. What's God's word say? Cast your cares on him, for he cares for you. I can lay my burdens at his feet. You know, when we were living in Wisconsin, we had an adult child that was rebelling, and it was difficult. And I remember Carrie and I went and we were talking to Dr. Vaughn, and Doc Vaughn said, Steve and Carrie, lay them on the altar. Now he's not saying, he's not like he's saying to Abraham, sacrifice your child. What he's saying is, you know, give that child to God. You can't fix this. And you've instilled truth. And yes, we weren't perfect parents. We had failed in numerous times in our parenting. But he said, put that child on the altar. Give that child to God. And we'd do that. We'd pray and say, Lord, we can't fix this situation. Our hearts break for this child. We can't. And so we only you can fix this. But what was our tendency? To take the child back off the altar. And worry. And he'd remind us again, put that child on the altar. And so through prayer, and we lay our burdens at his feet, we make our request known to God. And we can have that peace and that tranquility. So it's multiplied through obedience. And again, that's the peace that Horatio Spafford, as he's crossing that same path in the sea where his daughters died at sea. When sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Is God still good in the midst of trials? Is he? Is he still in control? And I can rest in that. And so multiplied through obedience, through prayer, and through fellowship with other believers. You know, trials come. They're going to come. We're going to face trials. We're going to face hardships. What is our tendency when those things come? What is our tendency? For some, it's isolation. You know, trials come and we isolate, and we're no longer in fellowship with other believers. In Proverbs 18:1, a man who isolates himself leaves himself to his own demise. If that's our tendency to isolate, remember, we need to be with other believers. My tendency, and maybe it's to get angry. It's maybe I'm going to fix this myself. Maybe I blow up or I clam up. I got to keep coming back to the fact that God is sovereign, God's in control, and God cares, and he can use all things together for good to those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Do you have peace with God? Have you put your faith in Jesus Christ and have peace with God? That's the main need. And if you have that, do you have the peace of God that passes all understanding? Because we're going to face hardships, we're going to face trials. But do we have that tranquility? Do we have that security knowing that God's in control, we're resting in His Word, we're giving things over to Him, and we're trusting Him, or are we trying to handle it ourselves? Peace is a benefit of salvation. Peace with God and the peace of God. You can't have the peace of God until you have peace with Him. But if you have peace with Him, I think it's a struggle. It's a struggle for me when trials and hardships come. I got to keep reminding myself, take God at His word. Trust in Him. Lay my burdens at His feet. Give it over to Him. In obedience to His word, prayer, and fellowship with other believers is where we find that peace. We need to trust in Him. Let's pray and then we'll have communion. Lord, thank You again for Your word and just this subject as we come away from our other study today. But thank You for peace that we can have. Friendship instead of hostility because of Jesus Christ. And tranquility, security, rest. Through obedience to Your word, prayer, fellowship with other believers, and just the fact that You are sovereign, You're in control. So Lord, I pray, again, if anyone's here who doesn't have peace with You, I pray that they'd settle that issue by faith in Jesus Christ. And Lord, this body of believers and that is here, that are on Zoom, church family that's away from us today, we know there's health needs. There's financial needs, there's relational trials as well. But Lord, I thank You for that peace, that security that we can have, again, only through You. It's sourced in You. It's given through Your Son, Jesus Christ. We have the indwelling Spirit, so Lord, I thank You for this peace that passes all understanding. May we rest in You and give You the praise that's due Your name. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll ask the men that